baseball.
This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, the only podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball, featuring interviews with coaches and guests from across the country.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com, Joe Healy of Baseball America, Chris Burke is with the ESPN SEC Network.
Now from Fayetteville, here's your host, Matt Jones.
It is game day at the College World Series. Arkansas and Florida State play Saturday night. Here from Omaha, Nebraska, it's a 6 o'clock first pitch, although the game time might be delayed some because of some bad weather in the forecast. According to the National Weather Service, there's a 40% chance of thunderstorms this afternoon in Omaha, dwindling as the night goes along. It might be that the storms are passed by the time that Arkansas and Florida State are set to take the field, but that an earlier game between Michigan and Texas Tech might be delayed some. It's springtime in Nebraska. Delays are just something we deal with every year here. The teams have been in Omaha since Wednesday. It came a day earlier this year than they have in the past because of the inaugural MLB game at TD Ameritrade Park. Players from all 8 teams attended the Tigers-Royals game on Thursday night. Friday was media day and the team's first chance to get on the field for some light workouts at TD Ameritrade. It was a gorgeous sunny afternoon. Temperatures were in the 70s. That's a lot different than last year when it was in the 90s for the team's first workout at the park. The talk in Omaha Friday was about 2 returns for Florida State. Mike Martin, college baseball's all-time wins leader, who will retire at the end of this season. The Seminoles were not expected to be in the postseason just a few weeks back. In fact, they were hammered by Louisville, another College World Series participant this year, toward the end of the season, and a lot of people thought that meant that Florida State wasn't going to make the tournament. But they did make it, made it as one of the final 4 at-large teams, and since they got in the field, they've been unstoppable. Florida State hammered Georgia twice at the Athens Regional. Then they won a pair of close games last week at LSU to become the first visiting team to ever win a regional and a super regional at SEC ballparks both weeks. Earlier this week, I had a chance to talk with Mike Martin about this run and what's made it so special for him.
Because I'm just telling you, 2 months ago, we were in jail. We were in San Quentin, baby. We knew that we had to do some things in order to get in the tournament. And we did, but it was just a display of mental toughness, because obviously it takes everybody on the team to get better for us to achieve our goal.
The other return they're talking about this week is that of Arkansas. We all remember how last season ended here for the Razorbacks with the foul ball, the heartbreaking loss to Oregon State, and the national runner-up finish. Arkansas isn't the favorite this week in Omaha, but the Razorbacks are a favorite. Arkansas is the second highest seeded team remaining in the NCAA tournament and the highest seed in its 4-team bracket that also includes Texas Tech and Michigan. Anything, of course, can happen in Omaha, but it's the belief of many, including myself, that Arkansas stands a really good chance to make it out of its bracket and play for another national championship next week, probably against a team from the SEC, because 3 of the 4 on the other side of the bracket are from the Southeastern Conference. Of course, Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State here in Louisville, as we mentioned earlier. So often this time of year, the teams that win are the ones that have been in that position before. Think back to last week's Super Regional when Arkansas beat Ole Miss in Game 3. The Razorbacks had been in that position at Game 3 last season against South Carolina. Ole Miss hadn't been in a Super Regional since 2014, and I thought it really showed there in Game 3. The Razorbacks were able to handle the pressure. Ole Miss wasn't able to handle the pressure. You think about the Lubbock Super Regional. Texas Tech was down in the 8th inning to Oklahoma State, and they came back in Game 3, and they won Game 3, and now they're back in Omaha the 4th time in 6 seasons and the 2nd year in a row that Texas Tech is here. Their players had been in that position before. Oklahoma State's players had not been in that position before. Arkansas has a lot of new players on this roster, but they've got a lot of players who have been through Omaha in the past. Players like Casey Martin and Heston Kerstad and Dominic Fletcher, pitchers like Isaiah Campbell and Matt Cronin. And then there were a lot of players on this team, and I think this is what was undervalued about the Razorbacks this season, is that they had so many players who went through Omaha last season Jack Kenley, Jacob Kostyshek, Zach Plunkett, a lot of veteran players who just had not been proven on the field, but they had that experience and they had that expertise of how to navigate this time of year, how to win in the SEC, and I think that's a big reason of why the Razorbacks are back in this position. And then there's the motivation factor. Arkansas clearly motivated. From last season, Dave Van Horn told his players last year that there are teams who are just happy to get to Omaha, and then there are teams who want to win when they get here. And I think you see Arkansas being one of those teams this year that aren't going to that is not just going to be happy to be here at the College World Series, given how last season ended. Much of Friday's media day centered around that ending from 2018, and Van Horn gave some insight into his team this year and what's helped the Razorbacks get back to this point in the year.
Michael Presti, NCAA.com. This is for Dave. Baseball is a game that demands pretty much that you let go of tough nights and move on because everyone has them. That said, how hard was it for you personally to let go of how this tournament ended last year? And did that put a fire into the kids who were coming back, who were still on the team who played last year, put a fire into them that burns to this very day?
Man, you nailed that first question right out, didn't you? You just – bingo. I mean, it is what it is, baseball, 27 outs. You got to get 27. And we had a good team last year. We fought hard. We were an old team last year. It was a different team than this team, but – you know, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. You know, you go out and recruit, start fall baseball, and never talk to this team one time about that play. You know, it is what it is. Only watched it two or three times. Once was enough, honestly. But, you know, it was a great season last year. Won a lot of games. Sent a lot of guys out. A lot of guys signed. But this is a different team. This team, you know, I just tell them all the time, this is your team. It's not about last year. They're going to, you know, once we started playing well, then we started getting compared to last year's team. Then people would tell me this team's better than last year's team. And I just tell them, just go out and, you know, write your own story. And they've been doing it. So I don't really know what question you asked me after you start talking about it, to be honest with you. But we're here. Last year was last year. Same field, different players.
The pitching matchup tonight's between Arkansas's ace right-hander Isaiah Campbell, 12-1, 2.26 ERA. He has been superb this postseason. Campbell with 16 and a third innings over the regional and super regional rounds against TCU and Ole Miss. He's only allowed 3 runs, and he struck out 15 batters in those 16 and a third innings, only walked 2. Florida State surprising some by going with their sophomore left-hander Drew Parrish tonight. Parrish is 8-5 with a 5.11 ERA this season. He isn't your left-handed flamethrower like Nick Lodolo was 2 weeks ago from TCU, and he doesn't have the stuff like Doug Nikhazy had last week from Ole Miss. But we've seen Arkansas struggle some this season with these soft-throwing lefties. Think about the UALR game in early April when they came in and shut Arkansas down for the final 5 innings of that one with a left-hander who really hadn't done anything to that point in the season. We've seen Arkansas struggle against those types of pitchers in the past, and Drew Parrish is a lot better than some of the ones that we've seen shut the Razorbacks down. Mike Martin was asked about Parrish on Friday and why he's going with him in game one.
He started off very slow for him. He had a very good year last year. He's a young man that has a fastball in the low 90s, a very good curveball, and a very good changeup. He mixes the pitches very well. He feels his position well. He is a complete pitcher, and we're very fortunate to have him on our team.
Mike Martin and Dave Van Horn have combined to come to Omaha 25 times. This will be their first meeting, though, at the College World Series. They've previously met a couple of times. You'll remember the Super Regional wins by the Razorbacks in 2004 in Fayetteville and 2009 in Tallahassee. Martin's 17 appearances at the College World Series are tied with former Texas coach Cliff Gustafson for the most all-time. Van Horn's second among active head coaches with 8 trips to Omaha. He's been six times with the Razorbacks and came twice with Nebraska in 2001 and 2002. I asked each man about the other this week, and here's what they had to say about each other, beginning with Van Horn about Martin.
You know, he's a great coach. He's a role model for student athletes. His players love him. I mean, no one will ever match what he's done. It's coaches aren't going to get to coach this long at one place anymore. I you just don't see that anymore. You know, 40 years in a row, I think he's been to the tournament. He almost didn't make it this year. They were preseason ranked top 10 in every poll. They have a powerful team. Just didn't go good. You know, it's a funny thing about this game, injuries, guys in slumps, mental things, just little things, but you know, he's a winner. And, you know, I'm happy that he made it back to Omaha in his last year. And, you know, I sent him a note 2 days before the season. I sent him a long text telling him how much I appreciate him, wishing him good luck, and hopefully has a great last season. And he sent me a nice note back, and now we get to play each other. So I'm excited to shake his hand.
Dave Van Horn is what college baseball is all about. He's just a hard-working, class guy that knows the game inside and out. And he treats the coaches like, well, what we really are, a fraternity. Coaching college baseball is not easy these days. When I first started, the football coach that lost the coin flip was the coach. It was one of those situations that not many people showed up for games. Well, now you've got, as I've alluded to earlier, you've got a great commodity. But what I'm getting at, and to answer your question, he just had a lot of nice compliments that he gave to me, and I was just taken aback by the surprise that just not many coaches will say the things that he said. It made me feel real good. Let's just put it that way. And I tell you what, I'll never forget what happened to them last year, because I watched that ball game, and it was something that, as a coach, I know what happened. I'm not going to delve on it. But A. Van Horn handled it extremely well.
Tonight's game will be shown on ESPN. Carl Ravitch, Kyle Peterson, and Eduardo Perez will be in the booth on the call. Quick traffic note, if you're heading up to Omaha today or next week, make sure to consult the Department of Transportation websites for Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, and Nebraska to help plan your trip. Because of flooding on the Missouri River, a large portion of Interstate 29 is closed between Kansas City and Omaha. That's the main thoroughfare between those two towns. And that means travelers coming this way will have to go out of their way a little bit to get here. The detour that we took on our way added about 2 hours and 10 minutes to the total trip. That detour was from Highway 71 up into Iowa, then to Highway 34 back across Iowa to I-29, where it connected about 15 miles south of Council Bluffs. If you go that way, that total detour is about 130 miles. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes from interstate exit to interstate exit. There are a number of other detours that lead to Omaha. Another popular one has been Highway 75 through Kansas that comes in on the south side of Omaha, or you can take Highway 71 or Interstate 35 to the intersections of Interstate 80 up in Iowa. If you're staying in Lincoln, a number of people always do that for the College World Series. Highway 77, another good route into town that I've heard from people this week. After the break, we'll talk with Phil Elson about the radio call everyone is talking about, the radio call he had from Game 3, the end of Game 3, between Arkansas and Ole Miss at the Super Regional. That in a moment on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app, presented by Absolute Heat and Air. Check out the all-new Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app is presented by Absolute Heat and Air. For the absolute best service, trust Absolute Heat and Air.
From the Arkansas radio booth Friday afternoon, I had a chance to catch up with Phil Elson, the Razorbacks radio man, who had that great call from the Razorbacks 14-1 win over Ole Miss that sent the Razorbacks to Omaha.
The 0-1, ground ball, third base, diving stop Nesbitt. He's up to his feet. He throws across, and the Razorbacks are going to the College World Series. Hey, Omaha! Start the preparation. They're coming from Fayetteville. They're coming from Little Rock, from Fort Smith, from Pine Bluff, from all four corners of the natural state. College baseball's Emerald City is the destination. A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Phil Elson on the Razorback Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. I began our conversation with Phil by asking what went into that call. How did he come up with it? And here was his answer.
I have a sense for the dramatic sometimes, Matt, and I'm given an opportunity as a play-by-play radio broadcaster sometimes to rely on a sense of the dramatic. Mm-hmm. And big moments at big times in big games sometimes, to me, deserve the preparation and attention to deliver something that hopefully is memorable, mm-hmm. that stands with the moment and in some people's minds almost apart from the moment. So I get really nervous before games like that. I was like that almost every College World Series game here last year. I was like that during the Super Regional last season against South Carolina. I get nervous and I start thinking about what the heck am I going to say if these guys actually win this? And, you know, I mean, you can go off the cuff or ad lib, so to speak, and do the moment justice just by the excitement of your voice or what you're describing on the field. You know, here's the thing about celebrations going to Omaha. They're all the same. Everybody dog piles or hog piles in Arkansas's case. Everybody does it. I don't think Vanderbilt did this year, but everybody else dog piles. And I mean, it's come to expect that. You come to expect it. So the call for me needed to be something that was something else and delivered a message of what last year's trip meant to me, where it felt like the entire state came here to Omaha and took over this stadium. I mean, we called it Baum Stadium North for a reason, everywhere you went. And so I didn't know that was what it was going to be like last year because I hadn't been to a College World Series. Now I kind of feel like I have a knowledge of what to expect from Arkansas fans. So that's why I went through those four cities and the four corners. Also because you and I know, and all the listeners to this podcast know, it's a Razorback state. Mm-hmm. You got other teams inside the state that have their fan bases and deserve those fan bases, but it's a Razorback state, and the whole state is focused on this baseball team right now, and that's one of the things I love about it. So then the other aspect of last year's trip was how close they came to winning the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like this season has been about redeeming last year. In all honesty, I don't really feel like you needed to redeem last year because that season was magical. Yes, they didn't win the whole thing. But when you think that you need a redemption story when you've been to Omaha, I'm not quite sure about that. But they still didn't win the whole thing, and they were good enough to win it. We know that. They were that pop-up away. Fan base has been talking about that for the last 12 months. I've been talking about it for the last 12 months. So the end of that call with whole damn thing – You can say we're coming for the whole thing. You can say we're coming for the whole darn thing. I'm kind of a devotee of George Carlin. I grew up listening to him my entire life. I think I have a decent sense of when a properly placed curse word helps. Not like I'm going to do the seven dirty words that George talked about, but I don't know. That extra word damn to me just felt like it had extra meaning than just four letters behind it. Yeah. And I think that's why the call has kind of swept fire like it has.
When did you write it?
I wrote it the morning of the game at breakfast at Village Inn and on College Inn with my dad, who has more of a sense of the dramatic than I do. He's a professional actor, and he knows script writing. I didn't ask his input. I was just like, I feel like I gotta write something for this, and then it starts going through my mind, and I wrote it out, and I think it worked out. It's funny too how the video that IMG put out with the Razorback Twitter account, you could see that I'm reading it because mm-hmm. the camera's right on me. I guess I should have put the script on my phone, you know, kind of like out where I was looking out to the field. But I mean, honestly, does it matter if I read it or not? I think it was delivered with passion and properly, mm-hmm. and it hopefully will stand the test of time.
Feels to me feel like it's kind of become a rallying cry, at least for the fan base. It's gotten a lot of attention the last few days.
It has. I mean, you don't write something like that or say something on a broadcast thinking that people will pick it up and run with it, but that's what happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. I guess if you feel like a phrasing defines what you feel like your team is about. And I've seen, you know, a hashtag of whole damn thing, people making t-shirts of it, and they send tweets to me about it. And I mean, people, I love that they're identifying with it. Obviously I wanted listeners to identify with it. Otherwise I wouldn't have written it and said it like that. I didn't realize it would catch fire and maybe almost become a theme to the trip to Omaha for a lot of people. But I'm glad that it has. But now, I mean, it's almost like I feel like I've put the team on the spot, you know? Like, I was telling people in 2018 that this team's got everything it takes to win a national championship. And I put that out there early. I've been a little more cautious about this year's team. And about a month ago, I started talking about, I think they might have what it takes. They do have what it takes to win the whole damn thing. But I feel like I've put them on the spot where, you know, they're now almost expected to.
Yeah. Let's talk about this bracket that Arkansas's in. You've got Michigan, Florida State, and Texas Tech. We know Texas Tech fairly well because we've seen them the last couple of years, and it's an older team, players who are on those teams. But what are you expecting maybe first off from the Florida State game on Saturday?
Well, I think it's a good matchup for Arkansas, and specifically I think it's a good matchup for Isaiah Campbell. You know, Florida State's got a good lineup. They've got power. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit top heavy, and they really rely on the walk pretty heavily. They've got like 130 point difference between batting average and on base percentage. And the other three teams in this bracket have a range of either 80 points higher, or in Arkansas's case, points 96 hot points higher, or Texas Tech's lineup about 100 point difference. So to me, I feel like they almost need a pitcher to be behind in the count, and that's not going to happen with Isaiah Campbell very often. Mm-hmm. If Florida State is overly patient, they're going to find themselves behind 0-1, 0-2, and they won't have a chance against Isaiah Campbell. I think it's a good matchup for Zay. They have the lefty they're throwing, Drew Parrish. I think sometimes when you get a lefty that isn't the power, hard-throwing lefty, because Parrish is more like Mike Martin was talking earlier, 90 to 91, good changeup, good curveball. Sometimes that's the kind of lefty that gives some of the Arkansas hitters fits, and it's because of the ability to change speeds, not necessarily because he's a left-handed pitcher. So with all that said, I think it's a pretty good matchup for Arkansas. Florida State's bullpen is the reason they're here. They've allowed like two runs in the whole postseason. I think they're going to be tested by the Arkansas lineup. So I think it's a good matchup with Florida State.
I thought in Hoover that ballpark fit Arkansas well this year and how they play with, you know, all the gap doubles and the hard hit balls down the line. And they just didn't play well in Hoover. And they, you know, Dave Van Horn said afterward that he thought they were tired. Obviously, they're going to be a lot more well rested, probably even a little more motivated to play in this tournament. It feels like this ballpark is one that might fit that Arkansas offense pretty well.
Yeah, I think the motivation thing might have played into Hoover a little bit. By that point, you felt we've done everything we need to do to be a national seed. So I wouldn't worry about what happened there. Here, you know, it's for all the marbles. And the one game Arkansas lost in the Super Regional, they just didn't play very fundamental baseball. They didn't make any errors, but there were like six or seven plays that they didn't make that they could have made and made in a lot of other games that led to a few runs here and there for Ole Miss. So when the Hogs play fundamental baseball in the field, they're pretty tough to beat. When they play fundamental baseball at the plate, they're almost impossible to beat. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about what you saw in the wins against Ole Miss. Guy at third base, less than two outs, contact is made, and something happens because of that. Guy at second base, two outs or less than two outs, a base hit comes through. Somebody comes through, whether it's Casey Opitz or Jacob Nesbitt or Heston Kerstad. You know, then somebody's able to come through with a clutch hit that rips the heart out of the opponent and shows it to him at that moment. So, and this is a big park. It didn't really hurt Arkansas too much last year. The ball flew out before the championship series because they didn't hit any homers in the championship series, but they did in the three games leading up to it. Yeah, hit it down the lines here. I mean, how many inside the park home runs has Casey Martin had this year? Mm-hmm. Three of them. This is a doubles, triples. Nobody ever says an inside the park home run ballpark. This is an inside the park home run ballpark.
Yeah, especially with those jagged edges down the lines right there. That can. You saw Heston Kerstad play a ball perfectly off that wall last year against Oregon State. But it's an interesting way that the ballpark sets up. One more question for you, Phil. You're around the team quite a bit. I wonder just kind of what are your observations about just kind of their mentality, their feelings coming into this weekend?
They are loose. This is a loose group. They're fun to be around. I saw it before the third game against Ole Miss when I walked into the clubhouse on my way down to the dugout to interview Dave Van Horn for pregame, and the pitchers were in there, led by Isaiah Campbell, just hanging out, watching. The other Super Regional game was Auburn, North Carolina. They were joking around. They were even dancing to some music. I mean, this is a loose team. Part of it is because they really enjoy being around each other, and that's fun to be around, whether or not they're winning. Winning usually engenders a fun attitude and a fun atmosphere, and I think that that's kind of fed into it. But they're loose. If there's pressure on them, I don't think they feel it, and there's not going to be any more pressure from outside that they put on themselves, because they want to be here and they want to produce and they want to play well and they want to win the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Sitting here in the Arkansas Radio booth, this is a pretty nice view.
This is a good view. You're right. I've been thinking about it for the last 11 and a half months. It gets stuck in your head. I mean, we were here for six games last year and even a rain out. Mm-hmm. So I love this view because it's open. You can see into Iowa. You can see the Missouri River. You can see all around downtown Omaha. My one complaint, and I could be picky about anything involving a baseball park, and especially the view for a broadcaster, is that the scoreboard is right down the right field line, and we're a little bit over the batter on the left side of the plate. So it's almost like you got to crane your neck to look at the scoreboard and the count, but that's just being picky. This is a spectacular ballpark. This is a great place to call a game. Radio broadcasters here are spoiled because we get the ESPN sound effects feed. Mm-hmm. It's like you could hear the players breathe or scratch their butt or something. You know what I mean? This is the closest that I've ever come to broadcasting Major League Baseball, and it feels like a big league baseball game.
Yeah, it feels like that. I was thinking about this as I was watching the Royals and the Tigers play the other night. If you put a second deck on the outfield, this could be a Major League stadium.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, I almost wonder if they built it with the idea that it could be expanded. Mm-hmm. You know, you get this second and even a third deck, but it's only from a little past third base to a little past first base. It's 25,000 seats, but if you built another level here, you could easily turn this into a 40,000 seat Major League stadium. It's just nobody's talking about Omaha being the next expansion city. It's, you know, Portland and Charlotte and San Antonio and Nashville. I'll tell you what, though, although Omaha is a little close to Kansas City to be a big league team, this city supports baseball in a way that's unique than any other city across the country. And I don't know. I mean, it's a Royals town, but it's a college baseball town. I don't think they want a big league team here. I think they want the College World Series here.
Our thanks to Phil Elson for his time. You can hear the RSN pregame show with Phil and Barbara Carpenter beginning at 5:30 tonight. We'll be back with a podcast Sunday to recap the Florida State game and preview Monday's game between the Razorbacks and either Texas Tech or Michigan. If Arkansas loses to Florida State on Saturday night, then the game Monday will be an elimination game to stay alive here in Omaha. If Arkansas wins tonight against Florida State, then Monday's game for the Razorbacks will really have a chance to set the table for the rest of the week in that bracket. The winner of Monday's winner's bracket game does not have to play again until Friday, and then would only need one more win to advance to the National Championship Series. Until then, I hope you'll visit WholeHogSports.com for all of our coverage from the College World Series. From Omaha, I'm Matt Jones. We'll see you next time.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.